Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening. Lord Texas again. Hope everyone is doing good. And we're ready to go.
Yes. Yeah, we're ready to go. Well, thank you for joining us and sharing across social media. Today is Season 5, Episode 27, America, Will We See Justice Prevail? MTG for Vice President. Vice President of what? Her book club? Oh, no, wait. Can she even read, much as best put together a coherent sentence to make sense? Republicans must stop joking around like that. Crazy talk galore as they up the ante on their collective craziness. Well, at least Marjorie Taylor Greene doesn't see Russia from her house, right? Sidney Kraken Powell requested a speedy trial, as by law dictates. That requirement must be honored within 60 days of request. Will Powell intentionally or unintentionally throw Donald Trump under the bus? Either way, her future is grim, as Rudy Giuliani is. Giuliani is so broke that he may have to defend himself. What will Judge Chutkin do to punish Donald Trump, who has been making vile threats and emboldening his MAGAs to do numerous atrocities across against witnesses, prosecutors, and grand jury members? Fannie Willis, not playing around either. Will Trump be thrown in jail for contempt and fined a hefty sum for deliberately defying his gag order? Will a Georgia trial of Trump be televised? That would be a great way, as it would start the healing process and bring closure. If Trump becomes a 2024 gubernatorial or GOP nominee, will he have to wear an ankle bracelet, or will he be thrown in jail like a common criminal that he is as he awaits trial? And yes, another mass shooting happened in Jacksonville, Florida. It happened on the 60th anniversary of MLK Jr.'s march in Washington, D.C., three killed by MAGA white nationalists. Thank you for sharing across social media and joining us tonight. The number to call in is 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Turn off all background noises and be courteous to the anchors and all those who may be on the air. You can visit our website at kitchenpolitics123.com. This is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show with David Franklin and Laura Picker, and it's Sunday, August 27, 2023. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking, Laurie. So this mass shooting, another one yet that happened in Florida. Tell us about it. Give us some background.
Well, the shooter was a white man, male. He was only 21 years old. He bought his guns legally and had no criminal history, according to local law enforcement. His name was Ryan Christopher Palmiter. He lived with his parents in a suburb of Jacksonville. He told the news conference he died of self-inflicted gunshot wounds. The thing is that he it was racially motivated. They found plenty of things on his social media with a lot of hate speech. His rifle had swastika stickers on painted on it. So he was really out there and a very hateful person.
Mm-hmm.
Had, like I said, no criminal record. There was only one thing that was on file, and that was a domestic violence call with his brother. But, you know, there was no red flag, the words for him, for buying the gun and the pistol. Now, I believe he bought the gun in April, and he bought, no, I'm sorry, the pistol in March or April, and then he bought the rifle, and I think it was, I don't know if it was an AR-15, but he bought that just in June. So he's been contemplating doing something horrific, and he did. You know, he went along and killed, you know, he killed three innocent people in the Dollar General store. Well, actually, two were in the store, and one, he went outside, and one of the victims was, he was in his car getting ready to leave, and he shot through the windshield and killed him. And then he went back into the store, shot two others, and then he killed himself. Well, I'm glad he killed himself, but, you know, it's sick.
Yeah, Ryan Christopher Palmeter, he is from Clay County in Florida. The city is Orange Park, zip code 32065. And he registered to vote in 2017. He's a member of the Republican Party of Florida. And, you know, he has a history of mental illness. That's what they're reporting. And, you know, when it's a white person, you notice the first defense, line of defense, is mental illness. But when it's a black person, oh, he didn't have a father. He didn't have, he was, came from a single-parent home. He was poor, blah, 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 you know. So the narrative is being written now that, oh, he was just a good guy who went wrong and didn't have any guidance because of his mental illness and all. But coincidentally, Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, he went to a vigil tonight and he was booed by hundreds of mourners for the racist killings. And the prayer vigil was held at a church, and in pure frustration and exhaustion, the mourners, you know, like, were very, was very belittling to Ron DeSantis, the booed him, the jeered him and everything. And, you know, this 21-year-old man who authorities said left behind white supremacist ramblings that read like the diary of a madman. So following services early in the day, which was today, about 200 people showed up Sunday evening at a vigil a block from the Dollar General store in Jacksonville, where officials said Rand Palmeter opened fire Saturday using guns he brought legally, like you said earlier, despite involuntary commitment to a mental health exam. So Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, who's running for the GOP presidential nomination, as we all know, he loosened gun laws in Florida, as we all know, and who has antagonized civil rights leaders by the rioting wokeness. He was loudly booed. And Jacoby Pittman, a Jacksonville City Councilwoman who represents the neighborhood where the shooting happened, stepped in to ask the crowd to listen. And just said it wasn't about parties today. A bullet don't know any party. So DeSantis, So DeSantis, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, he did go, him and his wife did go to this vigil, because I did watch it. As soon as they started talking, you know, they were booing. You know, I know it was disrespectful, but in a way, I don't blame him. I mean, he basically has changed the gun laws. I mean, the right, you know, you can carry in Florida without a permit. You know, you don't need to have a background check that, you know, that was signed in not too long ago. And also, you know, he's gotten rid of Black history in school. And he's, you know, excuse me, but he is more of a white supremacist than he is a governor, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So
I kind of cannot
blame them. I know it wasn't the right place, but how many times is a group of Black people like that who, you know, probably do not like him because of the things that he's done and said, they felt like they needed to voice their opinion. And the councilwoman did set them straight. And they did stop. But, you know, in a way, I kind of understood their, you know, their anger and frustration.
Yeah, because Ron DeSantis is the same one who bred Black women, who bred the Black community and talk about Black Lives Matter and really talk down to them, you know, and he called killer scumbag. But Ron DeSantis, it's your policies and you signing those bills into law where, you know, a regular Joe Schmo with mental illness, allegedly, can just walk in and purchase whatever guns they want without a background check, without red flag laws. You know, if the person has a history of domestic violence, well, hey, you know, that comes secondary to somebody's Second Amendment right. And I think it's wrong because a lot of Republicans across the nation, you know, they'd rather put a person's Second Amendment rights over the rights of children in school, people in supermarkets, just regular average folks who work hard every day and don't bother anybody and pay the taxes of good people, decent people, law-abiding citizens, patriots of this country, but yet still, your Second Amendment rights, because it's a beholden to the NRA, you know, you'd rather have the Second Right Amendment over everything else. Even free speech, they want to have free speech, you know, but yet still when Democrats and regular folks have free speech, they want to ban books and ban freedom of speech and what have you. So the Republicans want a cake and eat it, you know, do as I say, not as I do. It's a double standard and hypocrisy, which knows no bounds, and I think they're going to pay for it in 2024. So, you know, Ron DeSantis needs to shut his mouth and just go under the rock where he came from because nobody likes him. He's uncharismatic. He is not a policy wonk. He doesn't know what he's talking about. In a debate that Republicans had in Wisconsin, he was screaming the whole time. You know, it was so awkward to look at what he was saying and the way he was reacting and everything. You know, it was just creepy, downright friggin' creepy. You know, so we will come to the debate soon, later on the show. But, you know, what's your thoughts on the Second Amendment? Should it be repealed or should it be amended? You know, because there are a lot of different opinions on this.
It'll never be repealed. We know that. I mean, that is being naive, and we know that's not going to happen. But, you know, amendment or, you know, making, of course, red flag laws, stricter gun laws, you know, having to have a permit to carry. There's a lot of things that can be done to curtail, you know, the background check. He did not even have a background check, you know.
Wow.
So, yeah. So the thing is that that's what happened, you know. He got the gun in June, and I know DeSantis signed that maybe 6-8 months ago. It's been a while. So that's how he was able to buy his weapons. And it's just, and it's wrong. And just for, I just wanted to read the names of the three that were killed, just out of respect. I say deserve that much. First, there was Angela Michelle Carr. She was 52 years old. She was the one that was shot in her car. There was a store employee, A.J. Liguri, 19 years old, who was shot as he was trying to flee. And a customer, Gerald Gallion, 29, who was shot as he entered the store in this in this Black neighborhood. You know, it was mainly a Black neighborhood. So that's what he, that's what happened. And I just hope that, I know it's, the families are probably grieving. I feel sorry every time this happens. It is just another stain on America. It's just another, you know, day of life in this country. And, you know, we are so focused on things that don't matter anymore, or they matter, but they're, we're just so out of tune with the things that we, the people, need that, you know, we're all being thrown by the wayside, I feel. And it's sad because we need new gun laws for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And a listener, a longtime listener, Wolf in Alabama, I have to think about this question. We pose a question out there to the listeners tonight. And Wolf Venables in Alabama asks, do you think charging Trump with RICO statute limitations, do you think charging Trump with RICO statutes legitimizes him in the eyes of the followers? I mean, they were designed for American mafioso and have been used to deal with the likes of John Gotti, etc., as a tool to bring down the mob. Just as so many saw John Gotti and admired him, wrongfully, of course, do you think that the previous three indictments were as serious as a fourth indictment? That's a loaded question. That's a great question, actually. So again, do you think charging Trump with RICO statutes legitimizes him in the eyes of his followers? And part two of the question, do you think that the previous three indictments were as serious as a fourth indictment? Yeah, so we sit on that one and think about it a little bit and everything. We'll have Elaine calling from Michigan. Hello, Elaine. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
I've got a couple questions. One is the shooter in Jacksonville. Had it been a young black boy, they would have said what kind of a student he was. Had it been a young black boy, they would have said, they would have knocked on doors and asked the neighbors what they thought of him. Had it been a young black boy, we would know whether the young man was on medication. We don't know any of those answers, do we?
Not yet. No. But
well, I
are...
would hope we would find them out.
Yes.
And if we don't have any, Florida evidently doesn't, well, they don't. They don't have any stipulations on buying a gun. You just go in the store and buy one.
They do not have any stipulations. You're absolutely right. But they are, the FBI is looking into this supposedly, and it's being labeled as a hate crime. So, you know, it takes it to a different level. I think they will get to the bottom of it. But I mean, everyone's gone. I mean, he killed the three people. He killed three innocent people that were minding their own business, going up, you know, going on with their own lives, you know, shopping, trying to get out of the parking lot. And, you know, he decided he was maybe having a bad day and decided to kill people, you know, and he killed himself. So there's the justice right there. He killed himself. Not really justice, but you know what I'm saying. But it was a hate crime. What else can it be? You know, what else can it be? And all his social media, you know, said all kinds of stuff. So all kinds of racist remarks and stuff like that. So, yeah, it was definitely a hate crime. He said he hated black people. So why? I don't know. But he did, you know.
He's just a fucking asshole. That's what he is.
Well, you know, he's 21 years old, and he was molded in some way. You know, I start to think about things, and it's kind of crazy, but I start to think he's 21 years old. I don't think he was going to college. I think he was, something happened with college, and anyways, he's not there. He has other problems, but how was he raised? Was his family as racist as him? I mean, where do you get that kind of hate? How do you incorporate that kind of hate inside of a young person, being black or being white? I mean, how do you incorporate that? How do you grow up with that unless you have, you know, in your household or your friends or the people you socialize with or your relatives are all haters? I mean, how else can you become so bitter and hateful in your life?
I can't agree completely with that statement, Laurie, and let me explain why. You can have six kids. Three will be nuns, three will be priests, excuse me, I have eight kids. Three will be nuns, three will be priests, and two are in prison.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know. Is it social media? Is it the kid down the street, which is more convincing because he comes from a hateful house? You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It just
no,
it
that
happens.
Mm-hmm. You know, you
it
kind
happens.
Of wish that you could get into their heads and try to understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where the hate
mm-hmm.
comes from.
But
you
I'll
know.
Tell you, there is
mm-hmm.
a hell of a lot of hate on social media.
Oh, there
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, it comes down to, you know what it comes down to really, that, you know, some
mm-hmm.
people growing up, let us have this sense of entitlement, no matter how good
mm-hmm.
the parent is in trying to raise them. It's like, oh,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a perfect example is Prince Andrew in Great Britain,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
extreme wealth and affluence and the Queen's favorite, but he's just a bad, fucked up, pathetic human being. You know,
mm-hmm.
so no matter what values you have, the parents, you know, it
the
depends
kid,
on the kid. The
same, another example, he's really
mm-hmm.
messed up.
Mm-hmm.
The Kennedy guy that's running independent for president.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yes,
no.
Bobby Kennedy
he's
Jr.
Really messed
well,
up.
He's running
now,
as a Democrat.
He has a
he's
long
running as a
line of progressive people, and he's
mm-hmm.
just a wacko. So, you know, it isn't
yeah.
always home environment. It, you know, many
mm-hmm.
times.
No,
mm-hmm.
I agree with that. No,
yeah.
I do agree with
mm-hmm.
that, but I'm just saying you have to wonder, you know, how do you pick up such hate at such a young age? You know, this has been brewing in him. You know, he planned on buying the guns. He bought the guns. He, you know, he's been thinking about it, and he wrote about it, and it's just, where does it come from? I mean, I'm not
mm-hmm.
saying that it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it's just insane how these people just get this hate inside of them, and they see another human being, and they just kill them for no reason,
mm-hmm.
none whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just
well, how
and,
about
know,
all these? How about all these people that go to the mega churches and give away their money for nothing?
Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
true too. Yeah,
I mean it's a brainwashing,
yeah.
and it washes off on some people, and some people it doesn't.
Yeah. I hear you.
You know,
and rhetoric
even as a young woman, I'd start hearing that,
mm-hmm.
that you know, holier-than-thou stuff, and that used to turn me off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and the rhetoric by Donald Trump and other Republicans don't really help, you know,
yeah.
just add fuel to the fire
no.
and everything. 515-605-9802, say first name, where you're calling from. Hello, Virginia. Welcome to the call. What's cooking tonight?
Nothing much. I heard about the shooting that happened and
mm-hmm.
the racism. It's really bad.
Yeah.
But one of the things I've had a problem with
mm-hmm.
is the right wing going back on their car argument. They'll make the car argument about how much cars kill as much as guns do. But then as soon
mm-hmm.
as someone makes the argument, they want to counter that too. It's like, you know,
mm-hmm.
you can't win. You know, they want to say
mm-hmm.
cars kill as much, but then they turn around and say you don't have a right to a car as you do a gun. Understand that, but make up your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It all boils down to we need stricter gun laws. That's what it boils down to. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And we need, in my opinion, to get those AR-15s off the market, you know, semi-automatics off the market. There's no need for them. Unless you're planning to kill somebody, you know, there's no need for one in this country. You just don't need it unless you're out in
and I pulled off the NRA one time because they basically, in my opinion, if you accuse someone of exploiting something, it's just like when you do something wrong. It's bad to do something wrong, but when you accuse someone of doing something wrong, it makes you a bad person too. And the same thing
mm-hmm.
goes with you accusing someone of exploiting a death. If you
mm-hmm.
exploit a death, it's bad. But when you accuse someone of exploiting a death, it makes you look like an asshole, too. Because
mm-hmm.
the reason I say that is because the NRA will do that as far as the Fast and the Furious, and, like, they'll do
mm-hmm.
it as far as, like, the Syrian refugees. And then not only that, but this officer was calling out the NRA because his officers had died, and they wanted to accuse him of exploiting it. So, first
mm-hmm.
of all, it makes them an asshole because they – they're not having their house in order. Second of all, this officer, this chief actually cares. So, I mean, how dare they sit there and accuse him of exploiting somebody? I mean well when you say that. Don't just accuse someone of something like that. Accuse someone of exploiting someone. That just makes them an asshole, too.
You know, and let's see if Governor DeSantis does anything about, you know, the legislation that he signed a few months back with, you know, not having to have a permit or a background check to buy a gun. Let's see if he does anything about that. So that's how I feel. And my guess is that he will not.
But, okay, so on to other news.
You had
now.
A second question there. That was on Trump and all the charges?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, Wolf. Wolf, who is a longtime listener in Alabama, he had a two-pronged question, really deep question and everything. I'll read it again. Do you think charging Trump with RICO statutes legitimize him in the eyes of his followers? And the second part of the question, do you think that the previous three indictments were as serious as the fourth? So, you know, what's your take on those two questions? Let's set the first one first. Do you think that charging Trump with RICO statutes legitimizes him in the eyes of his followers? Yes. Yes, no matter what he does, he could set somebody on fire, shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue, and they worship him even more because this thing is a cult. The maggots are a cult. You know, he can do no wrong in the eyes of these people who follow him blindly. It's just like Jim Jones in Guyana. You know, no matter what he did or said, people just blindly followed. You know, and it's disturbing. What's your thoughts, Lori, and then Elaine, and then Khalil?
I have to agree with you, David. There are not enough Republicans, there are not enough people that are appalled by what this man has done to this country. And for whatever reason, we can talk about that until, you know, the cows come home, because there's a million different reasons. But I agree with you. Whatever, you know, and the other thing is that he has no shame. You know, he took his mugshot. You know, they put it on T-shirts. They put it on mugs. They made almost $7 million over the weekend because they have no shame. He's like Teflon, you know. But I do believe that at the end, justice will prevail. I do believe that. But it's just going to take a lot of strength, and we have to make sure that, you know, we have to keep these people, you know, the DAs and everybody, we have to try to uplift them. And can you imagine the death threats that they're getting? And the pressure that they're under, it's got to be horrendous. I do. Yep. Go ahead, Elaine.
Well, I do not believe that he has earned $7 million overnight. I'm sorry, but their narrative has always been over-dramatized, over-exploited. Yep. Overtold. I really don't think that he made that kind of money. He's been crying broke. He hasn't paid half of his attorneys. He keeps going out and shopping for other attorneys. No, I don't think he made $7 million overnight. I'd like to know where in the hell these people are going to wear these T-shirts.
I mean,
come on. There has got to be other Republicans who might have voted for Trump and now saying, whoa. And you're going to walk around with that evil face that he made?
Oh, it was ugly.
I mean, come on.
He must have practiced that in the mirror for a few hours to get it right.
And, I mean, you know, walk down the street with that, and I'll bet you any money, they're going to think that they became God, because people are going to part. They're going to part, and they're going to run like hell. You know, not run like hell because because the guy, the person walking down the street with that shirt is going to be some sort of a wacko. We're all going to take cover. You see, if my neighbor walked down the street with that shirt, I'm sure everybody would either laugh or go in the house and shut the door.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it.
Khalil,
are you still there?
Mm-hmm. They're going to sell some shirts. Yes, but I think this whole thing is going to backfire on them.
I do too, eventually.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
Yeah, Khalil, what's your thoughts?
Yeah.
My thoughts is it's really not good, and I'm not surprised because you got people like Jesse Lee Peterson, and then you got people like this guy that's not too far from my town in Richmond. His name is Benghazi Rabbit. Him and Sean Porter, they're big assholes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not surprised that some of the people that support him, huh?
Yeah, so they're approached from these people in your community.
Yeah. And then Jesse Lee Peterson's not my community. He's in L.A., but he's really an asshole, too. Mm-hmm. He's very – he takes on more – he's more racist than like – what's his name? Larry Elder, because he even accused what's his name, George Floyd of being a thug, and he defended segregation, but all of a sudden when it comes to actually going against like illegal immigrants, all of a sudden he's pro black. So he talks to black people like they're stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, another thing that's very, very upsetting is that there's a hit list that's been published by Trump supporters, MAGATs. They posted names and addresses of Georgia grand jury online. So is that
yes,
I haven't learned
did.
A lesson yet where these poll workers, the lady and her daughter were, you know, doing their civic duty as citizens of the United States. And Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani wrongfully accused them of stuffing ballot boxes, of burning ballots that were voting Republican, you know, all sorts of different things, and really sullied their name. And people literally, no matter where they go, threaten them with violence, walk into their homes and threaten them.
Yep.
Imagine you sitting down, chilling with your family, watching TV or talking, and some random stranger just walking, guns loaded, and started threatening your own goddamn house. This is a rhetoric that Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani and what's her name, the Kraken lawyer, Sidney Powell, and all these other people cause to add fuel to the fire and will not be accepted. Fani Willis is not joking around, and because Donald Trump, within 24 hours or less of breaking his agreement and not going on social media and saying what he did, I hope should find him a hefty fine, like $100,000 or so. I'll put him in jail for a little bit, make him like think about what he did. How dare he? Who the hell does Donald Trump think he is? I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean,
well,
imagine if Hillary Clinton or, God forbid, Barack Obama or any Democrat for that matter, defy prosecutors or a judge. They prosecute to the fullest extent of the law. So what gives Donald Trump the right, you know, to have such privilege? It's a two-tier goddamn system. And that's why people sick of this thing.
So since we're going to talk about privilege for a minute, I have to say, I watched him down in, flying on his airplane, you know, his Trump airplane, watched him land. I watched the motorcycle cops and his barrage of Secret Service, you know, him getting in the car, you know, putting his thumb up, and then, you know, this, and then the motorcycle. I mean, there had to have been 20 motorcycle cops in front of the Secret Service, and there had to have been like four cars, you know, and the one Trump had in there. Was, then when they got there, on the way, all the roads are closed, there's police everywhere blocking all the roads, so there wasn't a car, anything, nothing, it's like dead all the way. Then when he gets to the courthouse, you know, he got out of his car, sneaked inside, nobody saw anything, came back out and got escorted again away. And to me, that was appalling. That was the privilege that made me sick, because he did not deserve that. Those motorcycle cops, did he deserve for them to lead him to the courthouse? Why? Why was that such a spectacle? That made me sick.
Well, because as a former president of the United States, you have Secret Service protection and what have you. But knowing Donald Trump and his ego, you know, he overblew it out of proportion. Say, hey, look at me, you know, all cameras on me. This is who the son of a bitch is. And that's why he's so goddamn hated. You know, and people who love him are just as sick and twisted and fucked up as him. You know, because this is like about our democracy, about the Constitution. It's bigger than any one person. But yet still, as always, what Donald Trump does is make him about him. He's the most important thing. He thinks he's bigger than the Constitution. He thinks he's bigger than life itself. So I hope the people involved, the prosecutors, the grand juries, the judges, throw the book at him and give him what he deserves, because America deserves better than this. It's sickening to say Donald Trump, even,
you know,
even when his rallies and everything across the country comes out of his mouth, and the total garbage, it doesn't even make sense when he speaks. It's so fucking stupid. I don't know why the goddamn media will ignore him. You know?
I know.
They're making the same mistake they did in 2016. It's frustrating. But I digress.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And the other thing that bothered me is he did not have to stand on a freaking scale like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stick to his mugshot. And then he was able to say the color of hair. Strawberry blonde hair. Really?
Uh-huh.
Really. Strawberry blonde hair. And he weighs 215 pounds. Oh, and he's 6'3" tall. Now, really? he should have had to, just like everybody else, been measured and weighed. Sorry. Just like everybody else. Why were they able to fax in those measures? That made me mad.
Well, because there's this honor system where, you know, if you give the height and the weight, they take your word for it. But we all know Donald Trump is a fucking liar. You know, so again, special privilege.
He weighs 215 pounds. I would bet $1,000 that he doesn't weigh 215 pounds.
No. I mean, he's not 6'3", because Tom Brady, who was taking pictures with him many times, Tom Brady is 6'3" and towers over him. So to me, Donald Trump is at least 6'1", the most, you know? So everything that comes out of Trump's mouth is a lie.
Yeah.
And we would think that we know better by now. Everything that comes out of his mouth, you know, his ass must be jealous of what comes out of his mouth, because the level amount of shit that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth is ridiculous. I don't know why anybody would take him seriously. Added to which, 12% of the population is pro-QAnon and believe every garbage that come out of QAnon. And Donald Trump legitimized them before the 2020 elections. And that's just frightening right there. Some Jim Jones guy on a shit that right there. I mean, 12% of the voting population, you know, it's frightening. And our allies look at this and say, oh, my God, is this what America has come to? What is happening? You know, imagine if Trump, just imagine for 1 minute, if Trump is somehow elected president, he's sitting in a jail, he can forgive himself, that's what I heard, but the state charges, he can't forgive himself, nor the governor of those states can't, you know, forgive him. You know, so it's a constitutional crisis. And God forbid he nominates somebody like Carrie Lake, or worse yet, Marjorie Taylor Greene, the vice president. Imagine any of those two women acting as president of the United States. It would be the end of the republic, end of democracy. You know, Trump is bad by himself, but, you know, especially Marjorie Taylor Greene, talking about she's on a short list of people who may become vice presidential running mate for Trump. First of all, it's too early to talk about vice presidential running mate. Two, she's not qualified. Three, she's from a gerrymandered district in Georgia. Four, she's a blithering idiot. Nobody should take her seriously. And if you see and Bobo the Clown from Colorado, I don't know which one is worse, which one is more dangerous.
Well,
oh,
I'm
my God.
I know, you're right. But I want to say that I think Marjorie Taylor Greene is more dangerous than the other clown, Bobert. And it's because she has, Green has no filter. She has no filter at all. She just talks. Whatever comes out, she doesn't care. But she is a coward, though, because she, in New York, there was a group of people that tried to, when Donald Trump was indicted in New York, she was in New York, and she was at, surrounded by a bunch of newspaper, news reporters, and they were asking her questions, and she just scurries away like a little mouse. She's afraid to answer because she has nothing to say. She doesn't understand their questions, and she has no answers that are logical. So she just runs away. That's what she does. So, you know. And, you know. Well, you know, the other thing, I'm just going to bring this up for a second, and maybe we can talk about it for a minute. The other thing I was thinking about, I was thinking maybe the White House should have like a weekly briefing. And in this briefing, they should debunk lies on a weekly basis. Just bring down a, you know, put a screen and whatever, you know, comes out of the Republicans, whatever their, you know, whatever lie they're, the lie of the week or the six lies of the week, and debunk them with facts. And do that on a weekly basis so people can actually see what the lie was and what the truth is with the source of the truth. And maybe that would help if that was done on a weekly basis.
Well,
why don't you and Dave write a letter or telegram them
or email them or whatever you want to do with that idea.
Yeah.
That is super.
I mean, they do have weekly, they do have weekly, weekly press conferences.
This program could email the White House this idea. You know, they sometimes they can't see the forest for the trees because they're trying to put out so damn many fires.
Yeah.
The thing is that, you know, they do have weekly the weekly press conferences, 5 days a week.
Yeah.
But the amount of garbage that come out of the RNC and Republican candidates run for president is just bombarding and overwhelming at times. And that is why the DNC set up a war room for to answer questions like this. You know, it's going to be put in effect soon as a campaign. After Labor Day this year, the campaign will be in full swing. And, you know, no matter what lies that come out, for example, Fawn Willis, Donald Trump, before he gave up himself, said that, you know, she was prosecuting some gang members and she actually slept with the gang leader, which is total bogus and nonsense. But the MAGA supporters out there believe that crap. And the media legitimizes it by reporting on it. You know, so it's like, again, the mainstream media lost a script and keep giving Donald Trump more
you know,
and more publicity for his bullshit. It's frustrating.
Well, it is. And maybe even the mainstream media, I know, you know, they do try. I know MSNBC does not, if Trump is speaking or whatever, they do not even put it on there. They'll report it after, but they won't put it live. But maybe if someone like MSNBC or CNN or NPR had a weekly briefing and just something that shows, you know, these are the five lies of the week and these are the five truths of the week. This is how we prove the five truths of, you know, instead of this constant bombardment of lie after lie after lie. And there's so many people that believe the lies because they do not take the time to see if it's really true. That's the reason.
But, okay, how about the second part of Wolf's question? Okay. Do you think that the previous three indictments were serious as a fourth indictment? What's your thoughts, Lori?
The three previous indictments, yes, they were serious. Think the fourth indictment, for some reason, is, well, I know what my reasoning is, because everyone understands RICO charges. And I think that it's more because of, you know, Gotti and the mafia and all of that. And people were, and, you know, they were really interested in the mafia back in the day and how they did things. And, of course, he was in prison and he died. But that's how they got him, on RICO charges. So I think the fourth one hit home, but the other three are just as important, especially the, you know, the documents, the Mar-a-Lago case, and, of course, the Washington, D.C. case as well. Those are very important, you know. But I do think that this one hit home because more people understand. It's simpler to understand, you know, what he did and what his punishment could be. And I think he's got, what, 19 charges from this one?
Yes.
Am I right about that? Yeah. So,
yes,
said, that's my opinion. That's my opinion.
Yeah, because back in the day when Al Capone in the 1930s, he got arrested and put in prison because of tax evasions. So the Southern District of New York have him on that and gathering all the information. And that would put him away for a very long time because God knows how much indictments he has on that one. The next one is the criminal organization he ran, Trump Organization, was not legitimate. And, you know, to ban him for life for having an organization like that again because he stole from a cancer fund. He and Eric Trump stole from a cancer fund for children. Yep. That's appalling by itself, you know?
Yeah, that's just...
But this fourth indictment here is, you know, treason. It's insurrection. It's against the Constitution of the United States. And God willing, when the trial comes, they'll bar him using the 14th Amendment not to run for president. And I hope the governors and the Secretary of State who certifies these elections take him off the ballot because of what he did on January 6th. He instigated violence. Six people lost their lives because of it. Numerous people got injured. The Washington, D.C. police, the Capitol Hill police, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the trauma, the stress added to which, you know, some were beaten up, some were sprayed with bear spray, some were stabbed with flagpoles. I mean, what more? And then people like the Indian guy who's running for the Republican nomination saying that, you know, violence didn't happen on January 6th. Who the hell are you to talk, boss? You know?
Yeah.
He, as a minority, is defending Donald Trump for what he instigated on January 6th, 2021.
Yeah.
You know, and he has nerve to say that Democrats are like the Grand Wizard, the Ku Klux Klan today. I mean, Lord, these people are off the rails. And why didn't the host of those, that silly debate, the first Republican debate, ask, do you think Donald Trump is a racist? He was a rapist. He was convicted and found guilty and have to pay $5 million to E. Jean Carroll. And, you know, the host... a debate, didn't ask them that. It's a simple question that needs a straightforward answer. Well, of course, everyone except Chris Christie would defend Donald Trump as not being a racist, but that question should have been asked.
Yep. Well, the thing is, David, is that the hosts of that debate had no control. They really didn't. They didn't have control of the audience because the audience was a MAGA audience. I don't know. I mean, if you watched anything, you watched a little bit of it. They were definitely pro-Trump, and the other GOP contenders, the ones that are running, were all, one was yelling louder than the other. I mean, it was, you know, it was off the chart. So nothing was, in my opinion, there was nothing that they said that made me think, oh, that's a good idea. Nothing. It's the same old shit, different day. That's all.
So in your honest opinion, who benefited most from Trump skipping the first GOP presidential debate in Wisconsin recently? Did Trump benefit mostly, or did one other candidate or a couple other candidates make their mark and they have a bump in the polls? Who do you think benefited most?
In my opinion, I think Nikki Haley did. Nikki Haley defended herself against I have to think of his name right now. Vivek.
Chris Christie.
Ramaswamy. Ramaswamy.
Oh, Vivek Ramaswamy. Vivek Ramaswamy.
She went up against him, and she definitely defended herself and told him that he has no experience with, you know, foreign matters, you know, and he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
How would he?
Mm-hmm.
You know, none whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least she does have some. I had to give her that much. But he is
mm-hmm.
arrogant, loudmouth, opinionated, rude man. And that's what I've
mm-hmm.
got to say about him. His voice is bellowing. It's very deep. He points his fingers and he doesn't shut up. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he was asked many times because they had a buzzard, and he was asked many times to stop talking, and he didn't
mm-hmm.
pay attention to it at all. Him and Chris Christie got
mm-hmm.
into it as well. And who else was I trying? Oh, and Pence and him got into it as well. So he is like, he wants to be like a Trump 2.0. Let's put it that way. His policies
mm-hmm.
are horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
Horrendous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He
lacks experience. He lacks judgment. And,
yeah.
You know, his Ukraine comments that, you know, Ukraine should not be funding and everything. That's, I guess Russia wrote that for him, you know, because
yeah.
these are our allies. And,
yeah.
and they need help. You know,
yeah.
Russia going there and trying to take over their country and their democracy and everything, trying to expand
yeah.
Russian borders. I mean, how dare mm-hmm. anybody does that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he got into it, Caitlin Collins from CNN recently as well. And, you know, Ramaswamy defended comments about white supremacy and the KKK when he was on CNN
mm-hmm.
today. You know, trying to cure up that and everything. You know, this man is just out there, you know, and
yeah.
he has no business near the White House, much less even visiting as a guest at the White House. People like him should stay far away from the White House. He has no business
mm-hmm.
there, you know. So
nope.
I'm going to play this clip. It's a 10-minute clip, but now I play everything, obviously, for time constraints
mm-hmm.
and everything. And we'll have other
mm-hmm.
calls we're calling. And the number to call, ladies and gentlemen, we call is 515-605-9802. We're talking about America. Will we see justice prevail with this Donald Trump conundrum, his four indictments and everything? Does it disqualify him from being president in the United States? Okay, so here is the idiot, Vivek Ramaswamy, defending his
mm-hmm.
comments about white supremacy and the KKK.
Mm-hmm.
Take a listen.
Now is 2024 presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, sir. I want to start with what I began the program with, which is this racist shooter killing three black people in Jacksonville yesterday. What is your reaction to the shooting?
It is such a tragedy, and my heart goes out to those families. This should not be happening in the United States of America, and it is wrong. The reality is we have a mental health epidemic in this country. There are reports that this particular individual, the perpetrator, was indeed evaluated for mental health deficiencies as well. And I think we need to have the courage in this country to bring back a practice of putting back psychiatrically ill people who pose a risk to their communities into psychiatric institutions, not just...
Okay, pause right there. When Reagan came in 1981, the first thing he did was stop funding for psychiatric treatment and stop
yeah.
funding for mentally ill people. So he
yeah.
should shut his goddamn mouth about, you know, we need
mm-hmm.
to bring back whatever he said.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how dare him? My God, what's
yep.
wrong with these Republicans? They're sick in the head.
So what he wants to do is take these people that are mentally ill and put them in an institution and lock them up. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
That's exactly
yeah,
what it sounds
much,
like.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But with soldier on, here is it some more.
Just drugging them up. But faith-based approaches and other approaches that fill our longing for purpose and meaning in this country. I think it is just a shame that we even have mass shootings like this, be it the one that happened in Florida, be it the recent one, the Nashville shooter in a Christian school, killing six in a school. We have to address that mental health epidemic, and we need leaders with the courage to do it. But my heart goes out to those families, and I hope something like this never happens again.
Mental health is one aspect, of these shootings, and apparently, and we're still learning a lot about what happened, the facts are still coming out. Also, this was very much apparently racially motivated. The sheriff there said point blank that this shooter had manifestos coming, three manifestos, and said specifically that he went to this dollar store with the intent of killing black people.
I think that is heinous and deserves to be called out for what it is. The reality is we've created such a racialized culture in this country in the last several years that right as the last few burning embers of racism were burning out, we have a culture in this country largely created by media and establishment and universities and politicians that throw kerosene on that racism. And I can think of no better way to fuel racism in this country than to take something away from other people on the basis of their skin color. I've been saying that for years. And I think that is driving, sadly, a new wave of anti-black and anti-Hispanic racism in this country. I think the right way forward is if we want to stop hate and discrimination on the basis of race, let's stop discriminating on the basis of race and see what unites us as Americans, because I do not think this kind of racial division and any division is good for us as the United States.
I believe that there are a lot of people of color in this country who don't think it was just lasting embers of racism, but that a lot more work had to be done, particularly given the history of the systemic racism in this country with slavery and beyond. I want to ask you about a comment that you made about white supremacy in Iowa on Friday.
I've never once encountered that yet. I'm sure the boogeyman white supremacist exists somewhere in America. I've just never met him. Never seen one. Never met one in my life, right? Maybe I'll meet a unicorn sooner. And maybe those exist too.
Yeah, so he's making a joke about racism and systemic racism, that it don't exist, that he never happened, or he never happened to meet a racist before. Because he is in a bubble, live a privileged life and everything. You know, so this guy, this idiot, Vivek Ramaswamy, his parents are Indian immigrants. And, of course, you know, they have a caste system in India. And so with that, growing up with that mentality, you know, I mean, he's been basically covered all his life, maybe away from racism and everything. But to an uninformed idiot like him, who's running for a GOP nomination in 2024, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And, again, he has no business in this race, not because of his skin color, you know, but because he's just a blithering fucking idiot.
Yeah.
You know, and then that statement he made, what do you think about that, where he said he's never, you know, encountered the boogeyman, the white boogeyman who's a racist? That's such a stupid goddamn question.
What kind of a response is that? You know, I mean, we know that it exists. Everybody knows that it exists. Just because you haven't run into it, it doesn't mean that it does not exist. We know that it exists. And he lives, like you said, he lives in a bubble. He really does. His policies are horrendous. He's anti-abortion as well.
Yeah, he's very anti-abortion and everything. Hey, he doesn't have a vagina. He doesn't have a womb, so... As a man who's not a doctor or a health professional, who gives him the right, or anybody, you know, to say, hey, a woman should have a baby, even though it's dead in her stomach, that can cause all sorts of problems where the mother could die. Suppose the baby have brain disorder or whatever disorder they have, you know, body-wise or health-wise or mental-wise. If the woman wants to have an abortion, it's her right, her body, her choice. What are these Republicans speaking of when it said woman, you know, murdering kids? You know, it's not your body, so shut the hell up. Let that woman and her doctor make that decision for you. You can't carry religion in that room where the doctor and the woman is. Because several factors, you know, included when a woman makes that personal choice to have an abortion or not.
Many factors.
You know, it's between the woman and her doctor, nobody else. But anyway, we're carrying on.
So yeah, just because somebody hasn't encountered one doesn't mean that the notion of white supremacy doesn't exist as a threat in America. What do you think goes through the minds of the families of the three victims in yesterday's shooting when they hear you say that white supremacy is basically a fantasy?
I'm sure they're grieving for their loss, and I don't want to politicize those victims. Dana, this is a very sensitive situation where we should have nothing but foremost respect for those victims and not bring them into partisan politics. But I was responding to a question where someone asked me, what racism have I experienced in recent years? And I answered honestly, most of that racism has come from the modern left. It's happening during the course of this campaign. Tara Swisher calling me Rama Smarmy the other day and reveling in making twists of my last name. People effectively reducing me to the color of my skin and my attributes. That comes today from the modern left. But the reality is,
do you acknowledge that white supremacy does still exist in the United States?
I acknowledge that all forms of racial animus exist in the United States, including fringe branches. I mean, that's clearly what was at the head of this mentally deranged individual responsible for this shooting, yes. But I think there are many forms of mental derangement that cause us to see one another on the basis of our skin color and our attributes. And I think what we need to revive, Dana, and it's my job as the leader, hopefully as the next president, to do this, to revive our doctrine of e pluribus unum, not just celebrating our diversity and our skin-deep attributes, but celebrating what unites us across that diversity. That's what we've forgotten in the United States of America. Our true strength is the set of ideals that unite us. That's my job to revive as our next president. And I think that the next generation in particular is so starved for that, starved for commonality, starved for a nation that is unified, bigger than the sum of its parts. That's what we need to recreate in this country. And to those who say the remedy to past discrimination is present discrimination, I say no. The right remedy is actually abandoning all discrimination and moving forward with colorblind meritocracy in the United States of America.
You took it to another level on Friday. In addition to the comment we played, you took issue with comments from Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley. She reportedly said, quote, "We don't need any more brown faces that don't want to be a brown voice. About that, you said, "These are the words of the modern grand wizards of the modern KKK. You know, I'm sure, the KKK was responsible for more than a century's worth of horrific lynchings, rapes, murders of black people. How in any way are the views you're talking about comparable to the views and atrocities committed by the KKK?
What I said is the grand wizards of the KKK would be proud of what they would hear her say, because there's nothing more racist than saying that your skin color predicts something about the content of your viewpoint.
You didn't just say they would be proud. You said these are the words of the modern grand wizards of the modern KKK.
It is the same spirit. You're right about that, Dana. I think it is the same spirit to say that I can look at you and based on just your skin color, that I know something about the content of your character, that I know something about the content of the viewpoints you're allowed to express. For Ayanna Pressley to tell me that because of my skin color, I can't express my views, that is wrong. It is divisive.
That is driving hate.
This is dividing
our country to a breaking point. That is a debate that is based on nonviolent discussion.
Does this guy ever shut up and listen to the question?
No.
Seriously.
No. That's the whole thing about him. No.
Oh my God. He loves the sound of his own voice.
Yeah, he dare say that there's no racism. Please, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. You know, come on.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I said, everyone that was on that stage though is, of course, anti-abortion. You know,
mm-hmm.
all of them. So Nikki Haley basically said it, but she didn't want to go all the way. She says, well, I don't know, maybe at 15 weeks, you know, a couple of them said that, but they're all,
mm-hmm.
you know, anti-abortion. So that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
They never talked about the Second Amendment either.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows
mm-hmm.
about that yet, but it'll be interesting because, you know, and then what got me, what did he talk about? What he was calling the leftist? What does he mean? What is the leftist people?
Oh, leftist people are like progressives, Democrats,
yeah.
You know.
So what does he
liberals.
Have against a progressive? Someone that can think out of a box instead of listening to him and thinking that he's right about everything he says. He's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, these people are a joke. They shouldn't be taken seriously.
Yeah.
This is it's just garbage coming out of these people's mouth. And, you know, for 12% to follow QAnon and follow these conspiracy theories and everything, these people vote. These people actually vote. And for the independent
mm-hmm.
vote out there and for the Democrat who are out there listening, you know, talking about, oh, Joe Biden is too old. Cut the shit, okay? Because the alternative is one of these clowns that were on that stage in Wisconsin, you know?
You know.
And God forbid any one of them, if Trump is in prison, can I even make a point? If any of them, if Trump is in prison and then become president, we are done as a republic, as a democracy, we're done. We're finished.
Yep. Absolutely. You're right. And you know, I mean, Joe Biden, you know, they keep talking about, that is the only thing that they can really kind of pick on him for. You know what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
He had a stuttering
mm-hmm.
problem as a child. He worked through it. Every once in a while he stutters. Even when I talk a lot of times, you know, I mean, we all do that. Oh, what was I going to say? I mean, we all do that. It is human.
Mm-hmm.
It is human,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to find that one fault and just drive it home constantly, you know, it's sickening. It's sickening because they have
mm-hmm.
nothing else because they know he's a great president, you know?
Mm-hmm. Because look at this,
I mean,
the policies that Joe Biden, you know, abide by, the,
mm-hmm.
the laws that he signed, you know, the bills that he signed into law and everything, he's winning.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans for the past so much 20 years, what have they done for the American people to move American economy
mm-hmm.
forward, to, you know, find jobs for people, homes, health,
mm-hmm.
you know, health care, nothing, absolutely
mm-hmm.
nothing. Their one-trick
yep.
pony is giving tax cuts to the wealthiest 1%. How is that
yep.
going to help America? They claim that, oh, give tax cut to the wealthy and the corporations, then, you know, it will stimulate the economy
mm-hmm.
having more jobs. Well, what these people do is have offshore banks and have put their resources into having minimal, like there's no, for example, you go to a foreign country, there's no labor unions that can pay them pennies
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
is outsourced of American jobs. That's what Republicans and corporations and rich individuals stand for. Democrats are
mm-hmm.
totally the opposite. Joe Biden is insourcing jobs. Joe Biden
mm-hmm.
has created 13 million jobs since coming in as president of the United States. The stock market is doing well under Joe Biden. Well, you know, we
mm-hmm.
have a bull market currently. You know, he did well in containing the coronavirus, you know, COVID-19. Donald Trump
mm-hmm.
failed miserably in that. You know, I mean, I could go
mm-hmm.
on and on. The list is so big.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
Republicans are jokers.
And
yeah.
I'm just going to make
so,
a point.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, go ahead. As soon as David, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. The next clip is Caitlin Collins on CNN. It was a State of the Union show. And I
mm-hmm.
spoke with Vivek Ramaswamy again and asked him what the definition of woke is. But I'll play that after you make your point.
I was just going to say, we were just talking about Joe Biden's age of 80. And, you know, there are rock stars that are 80 and over, you know, like 85,
mm-hmm.
87. Willie Nelson
mm-hmm.
is 87. He's still out there.
Mm-hmm.
Dionne Warwick,
mm-hmm.
Tony Bennett, Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr is 80. Yoko Ono, well, she's 87. So, there's Loretta Lynn. They're still performing. These people are still performing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically what I was trying to get at is that, you know, they're like marketing the fact that he's, you know, 78 years old, 79 years old. How old is Biden? I think that's what he is. But I'm just saying they're marketing that fact and trying to turn it against him. And when
mm-hmm.
you have other people, we know that there are 80-year-olds, 85-year-olds that are still, you know, doing their thing out there in society, absolutely doing their thing. So that is a bunch of bullshit.
Isn't Trump 78?
Yeah. But they don't talk about that. You see what I'm trying to say? That is the only thing that they can come up with, because Joe Biden, once in a while when he talks, he does make a mistake, you know, and they say, oh, he's not reading from the prompter or something stupid they say about him. And, you know, I mean, that's his difficulty right there. That's his difficulty. But the rest of what he does, I think he's been a pretty good damn president. That's what I have to say about it, you know. And he's done what he's promised, and at least tried, you know. And Donald Trump, he's almost the same age, but they never mention his age, never. Why is that?
Hypocrisy, typical Republican move. They're just full of shit.
Yep.
I'm sorry. They're full of shit.
Yep.
So here's Vivek Ramaswamy against Caitlin Carr and CNN. The show is State of the Union. I want to thank Dana Bash and CNN for that previous clip. And they ask him, or Caitlin Collins asks Vivek Ramaswamy, what is woke? And this is his definition.
Swami joins me now. Thank you so much for being here. You know, you're touting your outsider status as a quality, but I don't know of any president in recent history we've had that did not either hold office or was not a national figure like Trump was. So why do you think you can win?
So look, I'm running distinctively on my vision for this country. I'm not running on my biography or my business credentials. I'm running on a vision for this country that I've articulated over the last several years. And a lot of the conservative base actually is familiar with me through the three books I've written, two of which are published, traveled the country and otherwise. But my view is we're in the middle of this national identity crisis, where if you ask most people my age, really any age, what does it mean to be an American today? You get a blank stare in response. And I think that is the vacuum at the heart of our national soul. And I think the opportunity for the GOP now is not just to complain about wokeness or gender ideology or climate ideology, but actually to go upstream and fill that black hole with a vision of American national identity that runs so deep that it dilutes these agendas to irrelevance and actually unifies us as a country. And I'm running because I believe genuinely that I'm the candidate best positioned to actually deliver national unity by reawakening that shared American identity.
I want to ask you more about that platform, but you are still funding your campaign, at least for right now. How much are you prepared to spend?
So there's really no limit we've put on in terms of what I'm going to spend on this campaign. I've been fortunate to live the full arc of the American dream, and if there's one thing I care about advancing, it is about reviving that missing national identity in our country, where we've celebrated our diversity for so long that we forgot the ways we're really just the same. That is what I care about more than anything else. That being said, I think a lot of businessmen or you know, history would teach self-funders make the mistake of thinking that they can just use their own money as a substitute for gaining the support of voters. To the contrary, this campaign is actually going to be lifted up by bottom-up grassroots donations. We're already off to a great start in the first few weeks on that front as well. So it'll be a combination of those things. But what it did liberate me from is many Republicans, what they do is they ring the tin can, carry a hat in hand, and ask for donors for permission to run. I was allowed to skip that step because of, you know, not only my accomplishments, but the fact that I don't want to be beholden to a Republican donor class. That's the normal gatekeeper in this process, one of the things I'm calling out.
Well, on that front, one of the things, you know, you've been dubbed the CEO of anti-woke. You have written several of these books. You've been very vocal of your criticism of what you say is wokeism, woke religion. Can you just define how how do you define woke?
Yeah, and I'm going to define it in neutral terms, not in critical terms. Being woke refers to becoming alert to invisible societal injustices, generally based on genetically inherited characteristics like race, sex, and sexual orientation, and then being called upon to act on those injustices using whatever potential legally means are necessary, including the market, to do it. That's a neutral definition that even most proponents of wokeism in the United States would agree with. Now, my criticism of this is I think that it's inherently divisive to tell us that we're nothing more than the characteristics we inherit on the day we're born.
Divisive Republicans caused it, you know?
Exactly.
What is he talking about?
Exactly. Who invented wokeism? The Satan. He's the one that's been talking woke for months upon months upon months until it's sick. So, really? This guy needs to go away.
Shut the hell up. Yeah, just go away. Go back to another
life. I would like to know what that character believes that women's place is. I have a feeling if you pin him down and ask him, where is a woman's place in this country, I have a feeling he would give a definition that we would not agree with.
Oh, you better
barefoot and
that.
Pregnant in the kitchen. Probably.
I
He's Indian. I
wish some female reporter would ask him that question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it might
mm-hmm.
It might. If, you know, we've got a way to find out, and he may be asked that question.
I hope
you know.
So.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so on with what he...
I got a feeling that we women and men who believe in equality would not like
mm-hmm.
his answer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh.
So let's hear this idiot's response on what wokeism is and why he disagreed, wokeism. Oh, these Republicans, I need a drink after the show, for real. They're driving crazy. They're driving nuts. These people are insane. Good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That divides us on the basis of race and sex and sexual orientation. And then when that merges with capitalism, which is what I've actually been the biggest critic of, what it does is we lose the sanctuary, the apolitical sanctuary in our economy that otherwise brings us together, whether we're black or white, even whether we're Democrat or Republican. That's one of the underappreciated reasons why capitalism has to stay apolitical. And I'm proud to say I've been the leader on leading that fight over the course of the last couple of years. And with some progress, because I think we're turning the tide where companies are realizing that they're not doing good for themselves or even doing good for society by engaging in these fraught political and social questions.
Yeah.
And I think we're beginning to see that change of the tide.
I know you have a lot of positions on the companies aspect. I want to get to that. But when it comes to this, is this your platform, would you argue? Because you know, when people talk about mm-hmm. inflation and what they're paying at the grocery store, do you really think that is the message that appeals to voters right now?
Well, that's the message I've been advancing for the last 3 years. But now we're taking this to the next level and running for the presidency. We're actually running to actually deliver unity to the country. It's much bigger than that. One of the core aspects of my platform is actually unleashing the American economy itself. There's this false debate, even within the GOP, between spending cuts or between raising taxes between Democrats and Republicans. I think we have forgotten the biggest ingredient to actually deliver us from our problems, that is GDP growth itself. GDP growth was over 4% in this country until the early 70s. It's been less than 2.5% ever since. I think we need to unleash the American animal inside the heart of the American economy. And so that's why I'm taking aim at certain opponents or certain anti-growth measures. I think we find a lot of that in the climate change policies in this country. That's why I've been as focused as I have on actually unleashing not only American energy, but the American economy overall. But to answer your question, no, this is about something bigger. This is about reviving a missing national identity, and that's the missing ingredient to both unleashing our economy as well as, and this is a core part of my campaign, taking on the actual foreign policy challenges that we face on the global stage. Number one is communist China, and I'm leading the way in this race in calling for a declaration of independence from China because the key difference today is, unlike the USSR in the last century, we never depended on the Soviet Union for the shoes on our feet or the phones in our pockets. That is the case today. I think it's the number one external threat we face. And so I'm actually delivering a vision of national identity that hopefully allows us to make the short-run sacrifices we'll need to on the global stage to actually win as a country over the long run.
China is a major issue. We'll get to that in a moment. But do you consider yourself a conservative? How would you define that?
I do consider myself a conservative, but I don't believe that the defining political debate in this country is between Republicans and Democrats. I think it is between those who are fundamentally pro-American, whether you believe in the ideals that set this nation into motion, from free speech and open debate to meritocracy to self-governance over aristocracy. Do you believe in those ideals, or are you anti-American? Do you actually wish to apologize for a nation whose existence is pinned to those ideals? And if you divide it up that way, I think it's actually an 80-20 split in this country. It's not just 50-50. And I think that sets up for a potential landslide election in 2024.
God, this guy's full of shit.
What the hell
is
he?
He's in an alternate universe.
Yeah.
Well, is actually against climate change. He doesn't believe in climate change either. That's another
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
He is definitely conservative he is definitely a Republican. There's no doubt about it. There's nothing about
mm-hmm.
him. He keeps saying that he's not that stamped Republican, but he is that stamped Republican. He absolutely
mm-hmm.
is. Nothing that I heard him say on that stage or even in this, what we're talking about tonight, what we're hearing,
mm-hmm.
that tells me anything different. And I don't know exactly what his plan is. I mean, Joe Biden has, you know, done so much for the economy. I don't know what he thinks he can do to change it and make it even better. I mean, we're making, you know, all the chips now are being made in the country for cars. And, I mean, there's different things that are happening. And I don't understand what he thinks that he – what gives this 30-something – I think he's a 30-something man – the idea that he has the experience and the wisdom to be the president of the United States of America, that is the most powerful country in the world. What gives him that feeling of, you know, I don't know, greatness?
He gave Joe Biden a compliment when he said that our economy grew to 4%.
Yes, he
did. Exactly.
But he didn't explain how to bring it to 6 or 8, did he?
With Vivek Ramaswamy and people like Ron DeSantis, they're trying to push this culture war that people don't care anything about. It's about economy. Mm-hmm. It's about jobs. It's about healthcare. It's about education. Joe Biden has come and done good things with these topics. Foreign affairs, Joe Biden hit the top of the ballpark, you know. So when Vivek Ramaswamy and whomever else on the GOP side saying all these nonsense, you know, if they go one-on-one debate with Joe Biden would kill them, literally kill them. You know, there's no way, no how, no Republican when they meet Joe Biden in those two presidential debates can beat him, because his record is stellar, his job growth is stellar, the economy, you know, it's growing, it's a bull market. I mean, even if they nominated Chris Christie, who is like the moderate in this group compared to all those crackpots, you know, the only way the Republican can survive is if they nominate somebody like Chris Christie. And Chris Christie is really bad, you know? So,
yeah.
Republicans are clueless, you know? Yeah, they're clueless. They don't know what they're talking about. They're having this culture war, which nobody cares about. They're a joke. They're a sick, stupid joke. And the world is laughing at us because of them.
Can I point something out that I observed at that debate? When they asked, would they back Trump as president if he was nominated, they all raised their hand.
Oh, yeah.
So does that make them not any, there isn't anybody on that stage that's worthy of anybody who might want to go back to the Republican Party.
Yep.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, you know, he can say all he wants, you know, like I said, he can talk all he wants about, you know, all the things that he thinks he can do. But bottom line is that he is a Republican, thick and thin. He's just, their policies are his policies. There is no doubt about it. You can talk about climate change. You can go all the way down the list. He is definitely aligned with the Republican Party. So he can't say that he's either or. He is a Republican all the way.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Okay, so we have highlights of the Republican debate that just passed. You know, it is... I know I played the whole damn thing. It's 4 minutes long. It was a real shit show, in my opinion. But, hey, we watch it so you don't have to, because people, you know, when they hear the name Trump or hear any of these Republicans, they literally get sick. I know people who literally get sick of these people. So here it is. This is courtesy of Good Morning America and George Stephanopoulos. Here it is.
Ramaswamy, the 38-year-old entrepreneur and fierce defender of Trump, recently seeing a rise in the polls.
I'm not sure I exactly understood Mike Pence's comment, but I'll let you all parse that out. For me, it's pretty simple. That's something a U.S. president can do with focus, and I'll deliver on
it. Well, let me explain it to you. Let me explain it to you, if I can.
We don't need to bring in a rookie. We don't need to bring in people without experience.
It was Ramaswamy's first debate.
You have no foreign policy experience, and it's just...
And you know what? The businessman tried to address his lack of political experience early on.
Who the heck is this skinny guy with a funny last name, and what the heck is he doing in the middle of this debate stage? I'll tell you, I'm not a politician.
That line later called out by former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
I've had enough already tonight of a guy who sounds like ChatGPT standing up here. And the last person in one of these debates, Brett, who stood in the middle of the stage and said, what's a skinny guy with an odd last name doing up here, was Barack Obama.
But the candidate who earned the center spot on the stage, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, did not stand out from the rest of the pack.
Our country is in decline. This decline is not inevitable. It's a choice. We need to send Joe Biden back to his basement.
The sparring on stage ranged from foreign policy to clashing over abortion restrictions.
But just to be clear, Governor, would you sign a six-week ban federally?
I'm going to stand on the side of white. I am on the record, and I stand behind that we should not have a federal abortion ban.
We need to stop demonizing this issue. But there was some consensus. Nearly every single candidate agreed former Vice President Mike Pence did the right thing on January 6th. DeSantis ready to move on.
I kept my oath to the Constitution that day. There's no more important duty. So answer the question.
I've answered this before.
Oh, yeah.
Why are we? Mike did his duty. I got no beef with him. But here's the thing. Is this what we're going to be focusing on going forward? The rehashing of this?
About an hour into the debate, the focus turned to the candidate who was not on the stage, the front runner, former President Donald Trump, now facing four indictments and 91 charges.
Would you still support him as your party's choice? Please raise your hand if you would.
Almost all of the candidates eventually raising their hand.
Whether or not you believe that the criminal charges are right or wrong, the conduct is beneath the office of President of the United States. And you know, this is the great thing about this country. Booing is allowed, but it doesn't change the truth. It doesn't change the truth.
Christie was booed multiple times for going after the former president. Trump sat this debate out entirely, instead releasing a pre-recorded interview with a conservative talk show host as his rivals look to get back on the campaign trail today. Former president is preparing to surrender to authorities in Georgia.
Yep. So here, there you had a preview of the shit show that went by and transpired in Wisconsin, the first Republican debate for the 2024 election. Interesting question.
Yep.
When the moderator, Brett Baer, asked, would you support Donald Trump if he's the nominee for the party in 2024, the only person who didn't raise his hand was Asa Hutchins, a former governor of Arkansas. And even though Chris Christie, you know, blasting Trump to smithereens, which he should, and all the other candidates criticized Trump, they still raised the goddamn hand to say that they'll support him.
Yeah.
I mean, as Elaine said earlier in the show, why would you, as a Republican or independent who lean right, support any of these candidates because they're supporting Donald Trump if they don't get a nomination? Mm-hmm. That makes no sense at all. These people are a joke. They're not qualified, they're not experienced enough. These people should be laughed at. My God. Oh, my God.
The thing that stood out for me is when DeSantis, they talked about the border for a little bit, and I'll read what he said. He went on to say, well, I'll explain it first. DeSantis distinguished himself by saying he would be willing to send special forces into the sovereign Mexican territory, continuing his promises to treat illegal border crossers like enemy combatants. And he said, I quote, yes, and I will do it on day one, he said. So when they're coming across, yes, we're going to use lethal force. That is what he said. Now, do you want a man like that as a president? that's willing to kill immigrants that are across a border for asylum?
Mm-mm.
What he would do.
And go into
he
the people's country. Like, go into the people's country and kill them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or even the ones that are coming across into the border. He wants to have forces there. That's crazy.
Very crazy.
And he was very proud of his.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's all I have to say about this. He was very proud of his statement. He said it with great fury, and and I was kind of shocked by the language. I couldn't believe it. They were just he was just nonchalantly just said, you know, that they're going to take force and they're going to, you know, basically kill them. That's it.
Okay, the last point on Vivek Ramaswamy is that he, you know, he was asked in an interview, if you're president of the United States, who your advisors would be? And he suggested he would want Elon Musk to be an advisor who wins the election. Yes. Elon Musk. Are you kidding me? That should disqualify him right there. Elon Musk.
I started laughing when I read that. Give me a break. Elon Musk. And can you imagine? I would say he's as bad as Marjorie Taylor Greene. I'm sorry. I put him in her. I kind of put him in her, you know, little box there.
Category.
He's no.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, so House Republicans, they're pushing along, and they want to impeach Joe Biden. The inquiry has started, but some of the Republicans hesitate. As The Hill reported, Ralph Norman, Republican of South Carolina, he said that it's a must that we investigate and impeach Joe Biden. He had an interview with The Hill recently, and he said, I mean, if it's not now, when? So my question to the Republicans is, on what basis, on what grounds, would you impeach Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? I can't think of one legitimate reason.
No, there are none. It's just to waste time and taxpayer money on a day and get nothing done for the people of this country. That's all it's for. That's what they're trying to do. Shock and awe.
And Congressman Dan Bacon, Republican from Nebraska, he said, and I quote, I think before we move on to an impeachment inquiry, we should there should be a direct link to the president in with some evidence. So, and again, there's no evidence to impeach him. Bacon, Congressman Bacon from Nebraska, also went on to say in the Hill interview that we should have some clear evidence of a high crime or misdemeanor, not just assuming there may be one. I think we need to have more concrete evidence to go down that path. And Congressman Bacon is correct, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So while the impeachment train has not yet left the station, the engine seemed to be fired up with the Republican faithful in the House. Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, who has been flirting with taking the steps for weeks. Last week he gave his clear sign yet that the House may start official inquiry this fall when he told Fox Business that the chamber could launch an impeachment inquiry when it reconvenes in September. And like I said, after Labor Day, that's when the presidential primaries and season start in great earnest. So it's all politics with the Speaker. So asked by Fox News Maria Bartiromo, the anchor, this past Sunday today, about whether he had the votes to launch an inquiry, Speaker McCarthy said, quote, when we go back, we will discuss this, end quote. So the House Oversight Committee, led by James Comer, Republican from Kentucky, has worked to keep its investigation into the Biden family foreign business dealings front and center during the August recess, releasing transcripts of committee interviews and sending requests for information. And so McCarthy said this on Maria Bartiromo's Sunday show on Fox Business, quote, if you look at all the information we have been able to gather so far,
it is a natural step forward that you would have to go to an impeachment inquiry. Some members visiting their congressional districts over the August recess say that they are frequently asked about the impeachment. Lawmakers voice concerns about evidence gathered through GOP investigations in addition to the appointment of a special counsel in the Justice Department probe into Hunter Biden, which is a nothing burger because Hunter Biden did nothing wrong. As we know, Hunter Biden is President Biden's son, and the mounting indictments against former President Trump are further fueling frustrations among the conservative base. So this impeachment inquiry and eventual vote on impeachment for Joe Biden is to appease the MAGA faithful and the diehard conservative Republican voters who frustrated because Donald Trump digging deeper in the hole and 18 other co-defendants, and because Joe Biden is doing so well, they want to screw Joe Biden over and the country over because, you know, they hate losing. You know, they're such losers, these voters who back these losers who are running for president. So McCarthy, as well as other members, stressed that they will pursue impeachment for political purposes and that they will be judicious in their investigation, even as they argue the various indictments against Trump are unfair. So they admit it openly that it's on political grounds that they want to impeach Joe Biden. So it should be a no-brainer there that you shouldn't vote Republican because they don't give a goddamn about the country nor the people who they claim they represent. What is wrong with people? Why do they keep voting Republican? Why? I mean, give me an answer to that.
I wish I had the answer. I don't. I do not have the answer. I wish that I did. And, you know, the thing is that the old Republican Party, you know, back in the day, you know, they always boasted about being conservative, et cetera. For me, I never really understood their theory of conservative because I didn't, you know, they were against climate change and all the things that, you know, for the middle class, et cetera, they didn't care about any of that. So what were they conserving? Well, they're conserving their money because they're not paying their taxes. That's the only thing that I could come up with back in the day. And now I just think that they're off the rails. I mean, I truly do. They're fascists. They're white supremacists. They're wannabe Hitlers. I don't even know anymore. They're dangerous people, very dangerous people. So we need to know that we have to, I mean, if you just pay attention to what Trump got away with, and he hasn't gotten away with it yet, but what he's indicted for, if you just pay attention to that, that will explain to you, you know, and all the people that surrounded, the best people that surrounded him, you know, he only hired the best, you know. They're all going down with them. So, I mean, really? Mm-hmm. So the swamp, you know, he created the swamp.
Exactly. And, you know, the Judiciary Committee is run by Jim Jordan of Ohio, the congressman from Ohio. And he has opened an investigation into Fani Willis, the DA for Georgia, who's pursuing criminal charges and RICO charges against Donald Trump and 18 co-defendants and everything. That's not in his jurisdiction, and he has no evidence that Fani Willis did anything wrong. So, again, it's a waste of taxpayer money. And Jim Comer, who's the chairman for the Oversight Committee, still pursuing this Hunter Biden bullshit. And it's a nothing burger. The Ways and Means Committee doing the same thing. They're probing various aspects of the foreign business dealings of the Biden family members during Joe Biden's vice presidency in the Obama administration. After all these years and all these investigations and taxpayer money going in there, up to now they haven't found anything, not one speck of evidence that said Joe Biden or any family member did wrong. So when pursuing it was all political purposes. And I hope people look through and see what garbage Republicans are doing. They have nothing on Joe Biden. And for this congressman, what's his name? His name is, he's from Pennsylvania. He's an idiot.
Bob Good from Pennsylvania, the congressman, calling Joe Biden and his family, the Biden crime family. He's one of the biggest defenders of Trump and everything. I hope Pennsylvania have a good sense to vote this man out, you know, because, you know, that's a sycophancy and the craziness that we should stay far away from in politics. We are, no matter what evidence is presented that Donald Trump did and he did wrong, people like Bob Good, the congressman from Pennsylvania, support him regardless. It is wrong.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
sickening. It is so batshit crazy. Enough is enough. And that's why people are sick of the politics. You know?
And, you know, the other thing is that, you know, they basically picked on, I don't know how else to put it, but, you know, they've gone after Hunter Biden. And we have to remember, Hunter Biden does not serve in any sort of, he doesn't serve in our government. He's not a senator. He's not a congressman. He's not a mayor. He has nothing to do with, and how, why is it that they think that they can investigate a man just because he is the president's son? That's so immoral. That is so wrong. That's just, he's a private citizen. He's a private citizen. And, you know, and the only reason they're doing it is because they want to stain Joe Biden's record. They want to somehow, you know, find something that they can, you know, latch onto and just, you know, pound away at, you know, Joe Biden. That's all they want.
Yeah, it's just like Hillary Clinton and a phony email. And a phony email scandal. Republicans do have nothing to run on in terms of policy-wise, in terms of leadership, in terms of experience in helping the economy grow. They have nothing. It's
sickening. They don't, you know, and Jim Jordan, you know, I think about him because he is so, now he wants to go after Fannie Willis. I mean, he is, anyone that has anything to do with January 6th or with Trump, you know, breaking laws, et cetera, he is like the attack dog. So he must have something tied somewhere. And I have a feeling that he has something to do with January the 6th. I really do. I mean, what else can it be, you know? It makes no sense. He calls it, you know, everything, witch hunts and, you know, Why does he care?
He was one of the Republicans at the White House or in some secret meeting before January 6th. He was in that meeting. And, you know, we don't know who was on the call. So, you know, he and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Bobo the Clown from Colorado and a couple others, if they did nothing wrong, why did they publicly ask Trump for a pardon? If he did nothing wrong, he would need a pardon. And so Jim Jordan is one of them who asked for pardon. So
that basically tells you the story right there.
Every
time he projects, he's telling the story. You know, he's guilty of something. I don't know exactly what, but he's guilty of something. You know? It's unbelievable. It's a joke. Everything is just so, you know, and they go after every little thing. And, you know, and then we have our Democrats that are trying to move our country forward and do the right things for the country and for the people of the country, for our economy and health care and everything else, and fixing roads and bridges and, you know, jobs and et cetera. We can go on and on with the list, health care. And, you know, and all they're trying to do is corrupt everything, just corrupt it all, just put that wedge in there so that, you know, and it's so aggravating. We must win in 24. We need to win the House, the Senate, and the presidency. What to do with the Supreme Court, figure that out yet.
Yeah. The thing is, so with Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio, he was assistant coach at Ohio State University, wrestling coach, and a wrestling coach actually raped the boys. And Jim Jordan helped him to, you know, cover up, you know, his bad deeds and everything, telling these boys that, you know, to be hush up about it and not say anything, you know. So when Jim Jordan run on family values,
It's like a big joke. Everybody, even school children in China, know that Jim Jordan is full of shit. So again, because of gerrymandering and cheating and, you know, redrawing the border in congressional districts, that's why people like Jim Jordan and Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene keep winning, because they have these heavily gerrymandered districts. And the truth is out there. The people know the truth, but because gerrymandering and cheating, they keep winning. And we need people like this out of government. If the Republicans are so anti-government and want a smaller government, why the hell are they running for office? You want smaller government? Get the hell out of government. Don't suck on the tit of the taxpayer with the free health insurance and, you know, free police protection from Capitol Police and whatever else. When you yourself, when you're near, you know, when the big donors come, and when the interests, special interests come, you know, it's like a revolving door where you get money from them. They themselves actually write the laws. Some of these politicians who vote on these laws not even read the bills before they vote on it. But because these special interests and big donors giving money to them, they vote yes to pass these stupid and ineffective laws that hurt the middle class and poor people. You know? And it has to stop. This revolving door about after you serve in your time in Congress, whether U.S. Senator or U.S. Congressman or Congresswoman, you get a nice cushy job with a special interest getting paid millions of dollars while you get in pension as a former congressperson or a former U.S. Senator. You know? I mean, it's so vile and disgusting and sickening and disheartening. Shut that revolving door. Shut that revolving door between special interest and these politicians. You know, make it banned for life, where if you serve in Congress and you either resign, retire, or you get voted out of office, you cannot, you know, join a special interest groups and get paid millions of dollars. That's just going against democracy. You know, the whole idea of representing the people who elect you, you know? I don't know.
Absolutely.
It's frustrating. Frustrating.
To say the least, it definitely is frustrating. And like I said, we have to work really hard to try to get the word, get the policies out. I mean, talk about the things that, you know, the Democrats want to do versus the Republicans. And it needs to be done on a daily basis. And I've said this a million times, the Republicans are very good at their messaging. They're really good at it. They have got it down pat, and they have taken over, you know, the media. Trump has taken over the media because of all these indictments, you know, and now there's talk of a fifth indictment, by the way, Arizona. Same thing as, you know, the same, you know, the same would be the same thing as Georgia, witness tampering. But, you know, it's just, you know, and that will take up more, it'll suck more air out of, you know what I'm trying to say, out of the things that we should be really focusing on. It's going to suck more of that out, because we have to watch him once again get indicted, you know. It's just disgusting.
Yes, it is.
He should just be in
prison,
you know?
Indeed. We'll have 10 minutes, ladies and gentlemen, left. It's been a riveting conversation. The topic is Season 5, Episode 27, America, when we see justice, will we see justice prevail? And we've been talking about the 18 co-conspirators with Donald Trump. We had a very interesting question from a longtime listener, Wolf, in Alabama. You know, and the different Republican ideas in the debate that assured, the filler debate that assured, you know, so we're just going to take one more call and then wrap up things. But before we do take the call from, is it Ann Arbor, Michigan? I think it's Susie. We'll get Susie, or is it Madeline, one of them. We're going to play this Joe Biden about the flag. And then get this call, this very last call, and then we'll wrap up. So this is Joe Biden in his presidential ad for 2024.
As the sun rises, we raise the flag, a symbol of all that we hold most dear as Americans. Courage, opportunity, democracy, freedom. They're the values and beliefs that built this country and still beat in our hearts. But they're under attack by an extreme movement that seeks to overturn elections, ban books, and eliminate a woman's right to choose. Joe Biden has made defending our basic freedoms the cause of his presidency. The freedom for women to make their own health care decisions. The freedom for our children to be safe from gun violence. The freedom to vote and have your vote counted. For seniors to live with dignity. And to give every American the freedom that comes with a fair shot at building a good life. In small towns and big cities, we raise our heads, our eyes, our hearts for America, for the idea of this great country. Joe Biden is running for re-election to make certain that the sun will not set on this flag. The promise of American democracy will not break.
Democracy must not be a partisan issue. It's an American issue. As your president, I will defend our democracy with every fiber of my being, and I'm asking every American to join me.
For freedom, for democracy, for America, Joe Biden.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
So there you have it. Everything we spoke about tonight and for the past month, Joe Biden have in one 60-second commercial. So I hope everybody enjoyed, and we'll have, I think, Madeline calling from Michigan. Hello, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking tonight?
Actually, it's me, Eric Brantley.
Oh, hi, Eric. Hey, sorry about that, Eric.
I just got to give you the end of the show surprise right here.
Yeah, it is. How are you doing?
I'm great. Yeah, so I know you guys are going to wrap up in less than 10 minutes, so let me just throw this in here. You know, I came in at right about the part where you guys were talking about how, you know, the Republicans obviously, you know, both MAGA and non-MAGA Republicans essentially have nothing to run on. And what we also have to emphasize is not only do we emphasize on the Biden-Harris accomplishments, we also got to tell the American public what those things mean. When we tell them things like, hey, we're running on the COVID relief package and the American Rescue Plan, it's not just about, you know, capping insulin at $35 a month. It's not about just extending the child tax credit. I mean, if they want to get into the numbers, we can talk about the numbers. The $1,400 stimulus check that President Biden and Vice President Harris had sent out, for a lot of people, actually it was $2,800 because $1,400 in additional went to dependents. And this is also for anybody who makes under $75,000 a year. When they also signed the bill for the $350 billion in funding for each of the states. You know, a lot of that went towards funding transportation. A lot of it went towards child care. At least $40 billion went to child care. Money went to public transit. Money went to emergency rental assistance. The banks were able to use the Paycheck Protection Program to give loans to small businesses. And a lot of money also went to higher education. K-12 schools are funded. So when voters ask us, what are the Democrats running on and why should we vote for you? These are some of the major reasons why, and these are the other things that we have to greatly emphasize as well.
Absolutely right. I agree on 100%.
Yeah, I don't know if that was mentioned in the show, but just in case, I'm just throwing it out there.
We have to really be talking about the things that everyday people want in this country and are striving for. You know, Roe versus Wade has to go away. It has to be returned. You know, it has to. We need to go back to pro-choice, just the way that it was. And there are so many things that need work, and we feel like we're stuck in the mud because of all this Trumpism garbage. You know, 4 indictments, maybe a 5th one coming. You know, he's complaining that he can't campaign. And also, one last tidbit about that, his family wants him to drop out, by the way. So, interesting.
Yeah, and then another thing, too, about that is, and also, if you happen to talk to any independent or conservative voter who is either right-leaning or undecided, and let's say they, you know, they were either laid off from their job or cut out because of COVID during the height of COVID, which was in 2021, they were able to get mm-hmm. unemployment, and the unemployment benefits were expanded to additional $300 a week. They were able to do that because that's what President Biden and Vice President Harris signed into law. So it was temporary, but at least it was helpful for the time being. And so we're trying to get the administration to continue those unemployment expansions and those benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. if you want to ask me, if anybody wants to sit here and ask me or ask any of us, why should we vote for the Democrats, this is why. A lot of the numbers and the statistics are laid out on investopedia.com. And so this is mm-hmm. this is what Democrats are running on. This is what more and more Democrats mm-hmm. need to run on. And so mm-hmm. it's not just about mm-hmm. the Republicans can't be in office. We're actually giving the people mm-hmm. something. And everything that we put to the table, 95 to 99% of the Republicans voted against it 95 to 99% of the time. And that's what everybody mm-hmm. needs to know.
Absolutely.
Yes. Added to which, Eric, Trump is emotionally unwell. He's psychologically crazy, sick, demented, you know, when he became president. And his condition is clearly worsening after these four indictments, 91 counts.
Oh, yeah.
He's become more volatile, erratic, and unstable. At some point, he's mm-hmm. going to blow apart. You know, it's human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when is this going to stop? When he gets arrested and found guilty of all these charges against him? You know, it won't end well for him, and it won't end well for MAGAs who are going out there and posting information on people involved in this case, in all four cases, where they're posting their address mm-hmm. and the email address and the telephone numbers mm-hmm. and everything. These sycophant MAGAs who support Donald Trump like he's some sort of god, you know, it has to stop. You know, Trump is not well. He's sick. He's deluded. And we cannot have a madman as president of the United States. We had it once. We're not going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
We'll learn from our mistakes, hopefully. You know, so that's my final thought on everything.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think
And like I said, here's my final thought. My final mm-hmm. thought is, again, anybody who's listening to this who's not a Democrat or anybody who's independent, conservative, undecided, you know, whatever it may be, just know that all the numbers and the statistics that I'm giving you right here, none of this is being made up. Of course, I'm not the one who does these policies. Are actually, you know, I'm not in the numbers, but I'm just giving people what I see and what the administration has said they've done. This is according to government websites, according to financial websites like Investopedia. Check your websites. Do just a little bit of research, a little bit of information,
mm-hmm.
and just know that a lot of this funding, billions of dollars, are going into public schools, public transit, emergency rental assistance, small business administration, fast foods, restaurants, child care assistance, the Paycheck Protection Program, company payroll, higher education. A lot of these things are expanded and have billions of dollars put into it because this mm-hmm. is what the Democrats initiated, this is what they legislated, this is what they passed in both houses, both chambers of the government,
mm-hmm.
and this is what the Democratic White House passed that most of the other mm-hmm. party voted against. And so had they gotten in the way and had they had more of them, a lot of these things wouldn't be here. And so this is why I urge people, this is why it's more important than ever, vote blue no matter who for the general election, because it's essential that we continue to move the country forward and forward. If you want your kids to be safe, if you want to have better health care, if you want to get an education, continue to vote for our party, and we'll continue to make that happen.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And that has to be the last word. We thank you, Eric, for calling in. We thank Elaine.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank also Khalil in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So until next time, same place tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. This has been Kitchen Politics for August 27, 2023, Season 5, Episode 27. America, when will we see justice prevail? And we will see justice prevail. That crazy man, Donald Trump, and his 18 co-defendants will be put in prison when they're found guilty. Till tomorrow night, I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. And everyone, thank you for listening and sharing. And everyone have a good evening. And we'll see you tomorrow. Bye now.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and thank you very much to both for emailing that question. See you tomorrow tonight, everybody. And good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Those are the videos, John. Can you make it easier for me to
understand how you're holding my heart. It's trembling in here. I feel like you need me halfway from the start.
Thank you.